Beyond the Boundary. And it's Tom King, and it's my co-pilot. Hello, Jason Doherty.
Hello, Captain. How are you?
Very well. Another edition.
Another edition.
Just want to say a quick shout-out to our good friends at APCO Cafe 24/7, APCO Servos. Just want to give them a bit of love as they come back on as our number one ticket holder on K-Rock Football.
How good are they?
In 2024.
Are we jaffling again this year?
Oh, I think we are.
Oh, you which one? You love the chimichanga, didn't you?
I did like the chimichanga. I was a chimichanga fan. So if they can bring that back, that'd be fantastic.
Yes.
So, no, thank you to those guys. A lot happening in local footy.
You love it. You love this time of the year. Yeah, you love it. You ring during the week and you go, have you heard this? What about this? What about this? Oh, I've got this email. Oh, you love it.
What have you got?
Yeah, nothing. That's why I come here.
Give me something.
Well, I heard in dispatches.
What have you heard?
That you might actually be getting a second job.
Doing what?
A wedding celebrant, I hear.
Why?
Well, because I think Steve Benstead's going to come back and ask you to be his wedding celebrant.
Yes, so for those who... For those who missed the last episode, well, you actually didn't miss the bit. But
no, you didn't.
We had to make a bit of an edit. We had Ben Lloyd on, and we were talking about Steve Benstead. And Steve and his lovely girlfriend, Eb Kopok, who plays netball at Bell Park... I thought it got engaged. So anyway, I apologise to Eb on the golf course because she messaged me going, what the hell?
Did I miss something?
And I think her words should be, where you're a dickhead. So that's okay. And I've apologised to Ben Lloyd because Ben goes, I had no idea what you were talking about. He just played along.
Well done, Betty.
Yes, apologies there to those guys.
That was good. That was good. No, so the feedback has been, and you know, as our first guest will tell us, feedback is a gift.
Yes.
It's how you unwrap it's the key. They want to know a little, our listeners, and there are millions of them, can I say, millions, like unbelievable.
I actually know how many there are.
And there are...
It's not millions.
There are hundreds. They just want to know a little bit about us, because they don't really know us.
Oh, right.
So, just a couple of quick questions about who we are. This is unrehearsed. You didn't even know I was going to do this.
I had no idea.
And I'm stitching you up big time.
Right.
Now, they want to know sporting background highlights. Now, what is your highlight, Tom, of your career? Now, it doesn't have to be now on the field. So, it doesn't have to be footy. Can be cricket, can be golf, can be tennis. You're very good at lawn bowls, I hear. One sporting background highlight that stands out for you that your lovely wife would go, yeah, that's pretty good. Because you're the third best cricketer in your family at the moment, but that's another story.
Yeah. Sporting highlight was making my senior... So I got to play 2 o'clock football.
Here we go. There we go.
At Walla Walla Football Club that play in the Hume League.
Right.
So they play against Holbrook and Culcairn.
Yes, right.
Well, they don't exist anymore. They've actually been part of now a three-club merger. So Rand, Walbundry, Walla Giants. So it was Rand Pigeons, Walbundry Tigers, Walla Walla Grasshoppers.
Nice.
And I played the only first 18 football I ever played was about a dozen games in the ones in 2004 at Walla.
There you go.
It was only because I was good mates with the coach.
That's how most people get games and stuff happening.
And so I lost about 15 kilos in about 6 weeks in the hottest summer ever experienced.
Good pre-season.
Yeah, it was a massive pre-season in Albury-Wodonga. So, yes.
There you go. See, people know something about you now.
So do you want me to ask the question back at you because there's something...
You can if you want. 7 for 46 versus South Melbourne at the Lake Oval. But anyway, with a hamstring injury. But anyway, it's more about you, I think, Tom.
Right.
What sportsman did you want to be when you grew up? What sportsman did you idolise? Who did you want to be?
Warwick Capper.
Really?
Yeah.
Warwick Capper.
Yeah.
There's more things in that, I think. I need to talk to your wife again, I think.
Yeah, right.
What's going on there? Warwick, really? Did you really?
Yeah.
I wanted to be Rod Marsh.
Right.
Who would you want to be if you're a sportsman now? Who would you want to be?
John Rahm.
Yes. Dollar signs.
Yes.
Hey?
Yes.
What is it, about $90 million or something, isn't it? It's just ridiculous.
Yes.
Yeah, no, nice. That's okay. I'd want to be... I was going to say Adam Scott.
Do you reckon they've turned off by now?
Yeah, they've turned off. Let's get back to footy.
Right.
Best local footballer currently in the region. Best local footballer currently in the region.
I think Marcus Thompson is.
There you go. Done. Yeah. Right. That's good. I agree with you. Tom Gribble might take that over. The best local footballer you've ever seen in this region.
Ron Watt.
Wow. Right. Okay. Ricky O'Toole.
Yep.
The best local footballer you've never seen, but you've heard about the reputation. You go, geez, I wish I had have watched him.
I wish I had have seen John Elbin play.
I wish I had seen Ron Sells play.
Yeah, Ron Sells was the other one in my head.
Isn't it funny how two or three,
I wish I had seen Gordon Hines play through the 70s too.
It's amazing how those three always come up.
Yep.
Ron Sells, Gordon Hines, John Elwin.
And Phil Stringer.
You can't keep going.
And Phil Stringer would have been pretty handy too.
Yeah, Phil Stringer. All right, there you go. That's good.
Right.
That'll do for now. I've got a few more, but we'll use them next podcast.
Can we talk local footy?
All right, let's do that.
Right. AFL Barwon. We expect a statement of some description later in the week or an update later in the week.
Right.
Commission met for the back of last week's meeting with the Ballerine and GFL presidents.
Mm-hmm.
And they will give us a bit of an outline ahead of this, wanting to make a decision before March 29. If I'm a betting man, they're making a decision before March 29. And if I'm even more a betting man, nothing's happening in 2025.
I think the comment is flogging a dead horse. I don't know how long we can do this for. I think the clubs have spoken, haven't they? Wasn't it 16-6 against?
15-7, but then the seven are varying levels of support.
Correct.
So two are outright supporters. South Barwon and Ocean Grove are bang, yes, go ahead.
Yeah.
I think there's three that sit on the, we like the idea, but it needs some tweaks.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a couple that sit underneath that are, we're for it, but it's not right for us right now.
I agree. I agree with promotion and relegation in terms of, I understand when clubs are struggling and I understand when they're going well.
Yep.
But I take a keen interest in English Premier League football and, in fact, English football. I've seen it every year where the three clubs go up to the Premier League and you'll be surprised if the three don't come back down. And I think that's the thing we have to be careful of is that, it sounds great for a Torquay or a Barwon Heads or somebody from the Ballerine to go into the Premier League.
But they're
going
for 3 years.
Yeah, but they possibly might struggle.
Yeah, but they're going to go for three. They've got 3 years to do it. Know what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm
worried. Somebody said yo-yo, and I said, well, it's only a yo-yo. Yo-yo was St. Joseph's in the early 80s.
Yeah.
Win the GD, go
mm-hmm.
up,
mm-hmm.
come back down, win the GD, go back up.
I sort of get it, but I don't know. I think they do need to tweak it a bit more if they're still going to continue on with it.
Yep. I see merit in it, but the clubs, in the end, are going to do what's right for them.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep.
They've got one stakeholder, themselves.
Can we give a shout out to, and I know he doesn't listen, and he won't be listening, because it's probably not, I can't see this gentleman tuning into a podcast anytime soon, but he's been a mainstay of the Geelong District Football Netball League for a long time, and he's just had a little bit of work done on the ticker.
Has he?
Yeah.
Who's that?
Alan Moore.
Oh, yeah, he has too.
Yes.
He has. He might, if somebody could show him where to get a podcast, he would be listening. He has. He has. Yes. So, no. The world's greatest secretary.
Yep. So he's out of ICU and back on the ward, and there was some talk he wasn't far from potentially going home. So
it's nice. Great work, Archibald.
Yep.
I worked with him for a very long time. He's a very good man. Mm-hmm. A very good man.
I've been making some phone calls up to Werribee, just getting some background on some of the boys that are floating around on the list up there or off the list or about to sign.
Mm.
Sam Witherden's had some back surgery. He's going to spend some time on the sidelines.
Sam Witherden's spending the whole season on the sidelines. Mm. Yes.
That's a blow for Barwon Heads / Werribee.
It is. Absolutely.
Apparently Noah Gribble has a long-term injury.
Does he?
Mm.
Ooh,
but he wasn't going to be playing much footy this year anyway.
I believe he's getting on a plane somewhere.
With Noah Lever.
Yes.
No, who's now left Werribee and is at Baldwin in the Eastern League.
He is, that's right, yes.
We will speak to somebody from Winchelsea in the next couple of weeks, possibly Christian Shaw, but they will play the Ed Smith tribute game against Shackandanda, which was Ed's home club. Unfortunately, Ed took his own life prior to Christmas, and of course, that's where we obviously mentioned Lifeline 13 11 14 or beyondblue.org.au. A wonderful initiative between these two clubs to try and take a silver lining out of a very, very dark cloud.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's obviously a terrible time for both clubs and communities, but I know Butch, especially as the coach, has rallied the troops and Daniel Gresky and the rest of the Winchelsea boys, and I think that you'll find that the Blues will be playing most of the season in memory of Ed.
So his number 4 that he was going to wear this year,
yep,
won't be worn.
Yep.
And the hope is that they can make that game against Shackandanda maybe an annual pilgrimage up to the state's northeast. The season launch for Yak is that night, so the boys will stick around. I suspect probably take a couple of rooms at the Yak pub and have a quiet one in Ed's memory. So well done to the Blues and the Roos on that one. A couple of other things that have come out. new electronic scoreboard going in at Motowari.
Really?
Yep, which will follow power.
Finally got power to Moriac. Fantastic. That's amazing. I beat you to it. I knew you were going there. Do you remember, I remember one day I went out there and I coached junior footy. I had to move the cows off the ground. Now, that is dead serious. So I think it's okay now, but yep, great to see that they're getting... Well, that's good for them, isn't it?
But they actually put a fake score up because they play AMOs on Good Friday and they put a fake score up and I think it was 63-0. So off the Carrick Football Facebook page, we might have just tagged Geelong Amateur in. And we got a response along the lines of, don't think so, and Gribble's kicked already, kicked three.
Hooked. Got him. They're in.
That's had our first, well, it wasn't an official practice match, but it was practice style, Port Arlington and the Belmont Lions.
I saw that,
and
yes.
And Taya Miles was in action, so was Jared Cartier, but Connor Menadue didn't play out of that AFL trio for the Demons. Mm-hmm. Belmont Lions looked good from all reports.
That's good. That's good. They got plenty of numbers, I believe.
They rolled 60 blokes through or 70 blokes through on Monday night.
Yeah,
across seniors and reserves. 50 years since the name change from St Bernard's to East Belmont.
Okay. Yeah, right.
And Brian Coughlin's been there, I think, for all 50 of
them. Yep, I would have thought so. Good on your Cogs.
We're going to talk to Cogs during the year.
Why not?
Yep.
Living legend.
Well, we talk about going beyond the boundary.
He is well and truly beyond the boundary. Yep. Have you ever been to a halftime entertainment at Belmont Lions?
Yes.
Oh, he is.
I was number one ticket holder there.
Were you really?
In 2008, 2009.
Were you?
Yeah.
So they won a premiership in 2007. Then they got you.
Yep.
And that was it.
No good.
Downstairs. Yeah. See ya.
I think they've only been back to the finals once.
You were the deal.
I'll tell you the bloke they're talking about at Belmont Lions that's going to have a massive impact is Davey Allett.
Yes.
Ex-talkie.
Yes.
Well, one we couldn't mention last time we spoke was the death of Zoran Vidovic.
Yes.
So Zoc will be farewelled on Friday at GMHBA Stadium. So deepest sympathies to everybody. Jay, she and I both knew him personally.
Yeah.
The name for me stood out, not through footy, but when he played at Holy Family.
Yes.
In the 90s, in the old Churches Cricket Association, when Holy Family and Cryo Anglican used to go toe-to-toe. The Herrera brothers at Cryo Anglican.
That's right, they were too.
And Zoc at...
And Holy Family.
And Holy Family with Eldon Barker. And
oh, Eldon Barker.
I played cricket against Eldon Barker's son a couple of weeks ago. How old do you think I felt?
Two things wrong with that. One, you're still playing cricket, and two, you're old. So, really?
Yep.
That's amazing.
So,
yes.
Zoc, obviously, North Shore. He barely lost a game of footy in 3 years of juniors at North Shore.
Yeah, I didn't know he played at North Shore, actually. Yes. I didn't know that.
So, a top age 16s flag and a couple of under 18 flags. Now,
when they were powerhouses.
And I think he would have been coached by another thing we didn't mention in the last show, by Bomber Bly.
Yes.
Who, of course, now has a gong. Probably he would be the doyen of Geelong footy.
Of Geelong footy, absolutely. Nothing happened without him.
No.
Yeah,
and he's developed some absolutely gun kids. So, plenty happening in the local footy world.
Mm.
We had to stop recording because I peered out the window of the studio. Here at K-Rock, and Mark Neal's head bobbed up. Now, we thought we were doing this on the phone.
We're not going to make this a regular occurrence, are we, where our guests rock in?
So Neal's just walked in like he owns a joint, because in some ways he does.
Yeah.
So we've got the coach of South Barwon and sometime K-Rock expert. Hello, hello Neal.
Kingy, how you going? Jace, lovely to see you.
Lovely to see you too, Mark.
What's happening?
Well, Kingy, first of all, so a lesson in just clear
communication.
I'll see you at one, was your message. So I said, well,
no, talk to you at one.
Oh, well, anyway, I'm here.
Close enough.
Are we sponsored by Fuji-san? We should be. I just had a great lunch there.
How are you?
Good.
How's the pre-season been at McDonald? Well, actually, you haven't been at McDonald Reserve at all, have you?
No, we haven't been there. The Highton Cricket Club are up there at the moment, and the City of Greater Geelong are going to do some works, or they're currently doing some works, which will extend beyond the cricket season there, because it's good to see the City of Greater Geelong getting behind the local footy leagues and doing a little bit of work on the grounds. Because last year, I think halfway through, Kingy, most of them didn't have any grass.
No.
So they're working on that, which is great.
Does that impact ability to play games early in the season?
No, we've been told. We play Dev's lads from Lara round two.
Yep.
And we are expecting, that'll be our first day back on the ground, is the expectation.
So you'll have to train at South Barwon Reserve up until then?
Yes, it would appear so. We're going to do a couple of trips out to Anarchy.
Yep.
So I haven't been out there, so I'm looking forward to getting out there and seeing
Footrot Flats, they call it in the classics.
Do they?
Flats, yeah.
It's a big cartoon from primary school days.
Absolutely,
right?
Excellent. Go out there, you'll be right.
All right, look, I'll fit in out there too, they reckon.
Yeah.
So I'll pop out there. We've got a few sessions out there, Kingy. Monday, March 4th, we're playing internal little practice match thing, and then we're playing, who are we playing? Old Brighton, later in the piece, and I'm going to go out and do one of your big statements, Kingy, and suggest that South Barwon versus Old Brighton at Anarchy is potentially the first time those three have been mentioned in the same football match, I think.
Just about guarantee you.
And then we've got Butterslads Leopold out there a bit later in the later March.
Yep. And then round one after, well, 2 weeks after Easter against Grovedale.
That's right. Yes, Jacob. So you're not really allowed to bet on local.
Cool. Oh, you've got an APCO voucher.
Might get into a Wash McCar or something.
There you
okay,
go.
We'll go with that.
Good work.
APCO, they have an amazing foundation, Jace. Did you know that?
They do. Did you not know that? Amazing. Well, Sharon Gleeson and the team at the APCO Foundation.
No,
it's
I
great.
Did, but I was unaware of all the work that they do.
Lots.
Do, and the way that they do look after local charities, which is wonderful, and also local individuals that may be going through a bit of a hard patch. And I read up on them. We've just started a relationship with him at work.
What's happening at South? Gee, you've recruited some players, and I've had your list manager on the, or recruiting manager on the text during the week with three young kids I'd never heard of before.
What's going on at South? Lots of fun, a little bit of hard work, and we're just going to roll our sleeves up again, Kingy, work hard and see how it all unfolds.
Have you touched on at all the grand final loss, or did you move on from it fairly quickly in the 15 minutes afterwards?
No, we're done. I think the grand final day was from a league point of view, was a great success. Lots of people there to watch. Unfortunately, from our footy club, our footy and netball club, we didn't put up a great fight. Buddha's boys were exceptional, and hats off and congratulations to the Leopold Football Netball Club for the way that they performed on that day. Look, Kingy, from our point of view, I think it was important that we acknowledged that Leopold were that good on that day, and we made sure that the players shook hands with their opponents, said well done to Buddha, and then we got out of there. And we've started training, and we'll see if we can improve a little bit and see how we go.
The names on the list of ins, very young, strategic, very young, very elite, from elite backgrounds, can play footy by the looks of it, most of them. Was it a particular strategy you had at the end of last season? Well, how did that come about?
Yeah, well, Kingy said he'd been speaking to Brendan Curry, who looks after our list management. So between Brendan, Shane Madigan, who does a lot of work as footy manager, and I must say, I don't know what the right word is, whether it's somewhere between refreshing and enlightening to be back involved with community sport and see the hours that volunteers put in to enable netball teams and football teams in this case to take the court and take the field. So those two guys put in a power of work, Jace. Yeah. So we did talk about what we felt we were good at, and that was a whole club. Yes, we are a young club. I think grand final day, and it's not all around that team because people play the whole season, but I think we only had five players over 25 or something like that. So we found in chatting to people that it's a club where the young people are attracted to because other young people are there, and it's a really well-connected club between the male football, the female football, and the netball side of things. They do a lot of functions together, and I was really impressed about how the way that the club actually support one another. So that played into I don't know if attractive is the right word, but young people are sort of drawn to other young people, and we managed to have conversations with a couple of young people who were keen to play at the Geelong Football Netball League level that may have been coming out of Ballerine and just weren't 100% sure about where their football future lies. A lot of them are keen to see how far they can take it. I was able to talk to them and with them regarding some of the experiences that I've had and what potential VFL coaches and AFL coaches and recruiting departments might be looking for. No guarantees, no promises. So we ended up being able to get through the door a number of young kids coming out of the Coates Higher Under 18 League. So, that's pretty exciting.
Discussion around promotion relegation, or restructure is probably the better word. Yeah. You and I have been discussing this for a heck of a long time, and the strongest GFL club for has been South Barwon. Now, that's a whole of club approach, and you and I want your view on this, because you've been so big on what's good for the sports of football and netball rather than the clubs involved. Can you just give us the background for your beliefs around where we should go?
Yeah, sure. I think my background is I'm really big on if there is to be a restructure of anything, okay, so in this case football and netball, I think it's our responsibility. Now, the ours, everyone involved. That's everyone, from committee person to coach to player, volunteer, everybody across the two sports. I think it's really important that we put the sports out the front and we push those sports into the future. And the question that we are posing at South Barwon Football and Netball Club is, what's the best thing for those two sports? And when you pose that question, sometimes the answer you get is what's the best thing for an individual person or an individual club. So you need to rephrase the question a little bit and still respect that people have personal feelings. Well, for me, that's really important. And I think that as a group of people that are involved, we need to make sure that we are doing the best thing for the people that have come behind us and our kids and our grandkids. And that's serious. And I think that's part of putting your hand up to be involved with community sport. And somewhat disappointing, some of the responses I feel are purely based around what someone thinks is the best thing for them or their club. And I think that it's not disrespectful. People are really across how much work people have done to get both sports to this stage.
Yep.
I think it's fairly clear. I think it's crystal clear that the structure we have in place now is not the best structure for the sports moving into the future. And we need to discuss what that looks like.
Do you think there's too many clubs in Geelong? Footy clubs? Footy netball clubs? Do you think that there's, like, if we didn't have that many, would it be easier or more difficult to do something like that?
Yeah, I probably need more information, Jace, to answer that fully. And the information that I need, when you talk about numbers, I'm not across the difficulty in trying to field teams, both netball and football, across the three leagues that we have. Now, if you've got data that says on a regular basis there are clubs that can't field certain teams of football or certain teams of netball, and by regular, not one-off or, you know, not the occasional event, but if it becomes a pattern of behaviour where clubs are struggling to... So you try to find out why. And if there's not enough players to service the teams, well, the answer to what you've asked is yes.
I was also thinking off-field too, though. I mean, I understand volunteering is tough.
It is.
Like to find people to at club level. You know, you've got 30 or 35 clubs in the region. To find people to actually look after them and run them and support them and, you know, guide them, it's tough to find people to do that too.
It is, yeah, and as society moves on, volunteers in all realms of our lives are difficult to find. Mm. I think there, Jace, one of the things that we can do is through education and just talking to players in particular. Mm. Like, you know, most clubs have around the 45 to 50 male footballers, that again in female, and then you've got netball, I think it's five or six teams, so you're probably talking around the 50 to 60. It's also part of having a leadership role at a sporting club is just to do it, have those discussions and to explain that, you know, one of the things that I found absolutely amazing and just a really good shot in the arm was Thursday night meals at South Barmby. And it's repeated probably, I don't know how many clubs there are, maybe 30, repeated 30 times around the Geelong area. And you sit down and you go and you say, you know, g'day to the person sitting in the corner and just tell me about your involvement here. And on Saturday, I'll be here at 7 a.m. and I'm going to do this. And I've been doing this for 15 years. And then you meet the next person who does the same thing. Mm. Yeah, wow. Mm. So it needs to be taken into consideration, Jase, the stuff off the field. But Kingy, to your answer, my answer to that is what's the best thing for the two sports? And it's a hard question to answer because you have to reflect. Because regularly the first thing that comes out of people's minds or out of their mouths is what's best for their club or their person or their child.
Yeah,
we're not asking that, and that's really, really important. And also, a leap of faith is important too. Now, you said about volunteers. AFL Barwon is staffed by people that are employed to work in football and netball 38-plus hours a week. Now, again, it's not disrespecting to say that the committee at South Barwon put in a lot of time and effort. The majority of those people, and I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's the same at the other football and netball clubs, they have day jobs, and they do this stuff lovingly in their spare time. The people that have the most information and live and breathe this as a full-time job are the people who are at AFL Barwon. I think it's really important that we ask respectful, challenging questions. Sometimes it's not a bad idea to trust the people that have all the information and let's go with it and a little bit of a leap of faith. So South Barwon and another club that I had a little bit to do with, I know the Ocean Grove Football Netball Club are behind having a look at the restructure and supporting that for similar reasons.
Yep, aspirational they are.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
So what if...
Are they? What does that even mean? What do you mean? They want to win games.
They aspire to be in the highest... Oh, competition in the region.
Oh, good on them. Yeah. Oh, that's interesting to see where Ocean Grove finish up.
Are you going to stick around, Neil, or are you departing us now that you've come?
Is that all you got for me?
It's here now.
Yeah, because we've got other people to talk to.
You're going
to
win the premiership?
Well, I don't know. You blokes are the experts. Well, how would you, at the moment, everyone's 0-0.
Yep.
We'll try to improve. We'll see how we go.
But who's a player to watch out of the new players? Come on, just one player. Don't give me that, oh, we've got 12 new ones, so they're all great. Give me one that stands out to you and goes, he's going to have a good season.
The senior players, they're allowed to choose one new player to the club. This is the little competition they're running, and I think Fredo Frog is the winner, obviously. Nice. They choose one player who will finish the highest in the best and fairest count. Yep. So that's quite good. Novel, yeah, which good. Is good.
I like that.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't be in it, given that I
do the votes.
Yeah, I do the votes. So where am I going with this? So there's been a number of people that have put their hand up for certain players that may have already been taken.
Right.
Tom Burke, he trains well, little fella, that's hard at it, good kid, really nice family, all the things you want. So that's really good. Tom Bartlett, same, good work him. Oh, you guys will love this kid. You will love this kid, and we're going to play him. Because he's a ripper, and he's a bit young, and he's probably going to get buffeted out of the way a few times by the big boys, but in a couple of years he'll be a big boy. There's a young kid called Dustin Burns.
Yep.
He comes from some place I'm not really sure. It's up
Lake Boga.
Yeah, Lake Boga.
Tough as nails up there.
Is it? Well,
absolutely.
I'll be fair. So pre-season, I was standing with Matty Caldo. I don't know why he wasn't training. But anyway, we're standing there, and I said, "This young kid, have a look at him. He knows a little bit," and Matt was a bit, he was like, oh, not so sure. He's a bit small. And look, let's be fair. And Dusty, and again, I'm sure Dusty is an avid listener of this podcast. He's a bit doughy pre-Christmas, I reckon. A little bit doughy. Lost my finger when I sort of poked him. But after Christmas, he's been on some serious fitness campaign. So he's come back. And he's training the house. He's a ripper kid. I'm not sure how. I don't know where we're going to play him.
But you're playing him.
But I don't care. He's just in the team, and I'm not sure. But so I don't know whose spot he's going to take. It'd be nice if Jack Driver came to training, got rid of his cricket. That'd be handy. So
it's February, mate. He's not coming to training.
He's in Jurassic.
He's in the twos.
He's actually been, you believe it, he's been to my house more times than he's been to training since the end of season. That's extreme.
It's concerning. Are you staying or are you going?
Oh, it depends. We got an exciting thing to come up. I've got to work.
We'll let you go.
All right, no, it's been wonderful. I'll come back and say good day. But yeah, get around the Geelong Footy Netball League, I would say to your listeners. It's a really good quality brand of footy and netball. We'll have a bit of fun. We'll see how we go. No one takes it too seriously.
Bye, Neildy.
Bye. Bye for now. Everyone, carry on.
Well, the ridiculousness of Mark Neild has departed the building, and we move on and try and get back on track talk a little bit of sense. And we welcome, for the first time to be on the boundary, the coach of the Newcombe Power, Tony Mirabella. Tony's good enough to join us all the way from Tate Street Primary School this afternoon. Tony, hello.
Hello, Kenny. Thanks for having me on board, mate. Appreciate it.
How are things at Tate Street? Settled in nicely to the new year? The principal's got everything under control?
Yeah. We're ticking along okay at the moment, so the honeymoon period's over. But, we're going well at the moment.
A bit going on the Ormond Road side. The old housing commission's been tipped over there and some buildings are taking place.
That's right, yeah. But I've been told 54 new apartments going across the road. So, yeah, they reckon by the end of 2026 they'll be all done. So hopefully brings in some good clientele into the area.
kicked seven on that ground one day, Tony, in your backyard there, Tate Street Primary School, when I was playing at Newcombe South. I kicked seven against Tate Street. But anyway, let's keep moving. Newcombe. Now, that's just a drive-by, that's all. It's just, we've got a bit of a theme
today. Was Newcombe South the one at the high school?
Yes.
Off Irvine Reserve there?
It's no longer there. Yes, correct. Right. Yes,
so you still hold that record?
I do. There you go. Most goals against Tate Street. So there you go. It should be up at Tate Street too. I killed him that day. Now,
yeah, I'm fairly sure it's up on the board.
Thank you,
in
Tony.
The,
well done. Good work. Now, the power. So give us a rundown on what the preseason has looked like. You're obviously stabilising and getting set. I see Josh Sotolamaki is coming from St Albans, and there's obviously a great relationship with the Sotolamaki family at Newcombe, but other players as well. Give us a rundown on what the preseason's looked like for the power so far.
Yeah, look, it's definitely been it's been a good preseason in terms of numbers and commitment. I definitely can't hold that against the boys. We're just putting our head down more than anything and just trying to develop the squad that we essentially had in 2023, because probably for us, bringing in some really big recruits wasn't going to be something that we were quite focused on. We tried for a couple early and probably didn't have the success there, and we sort of just refreshed the situation, and we thought, look, let's really focus on the group we've got, add in some young guys that are going to be here for a few years to come and just keep building. So Salts was a great addition from St Albans, still really young and plenty of time to develop. We got Josh Taylor over from Geelong West in the GDFL, and weirdly enough, I actually taught Josh in grade 6 over at Rosebud Primary School. So in 2012, and his partner plays netball at our club. So ran into him in a function one night and said, mate, I think you need to come over for a kick. And look, he was really well connected at Geelong West, had a lot of respect, and we're happy that he's taken that on. Getting Finn Anscombe back from Hepburn, certainly with his background and knowledge and his ability, is a real plus. And then Jared Stafford from up in Stall in the Wimmera League as a ruckman certainly helps us with Paddy McGinley sort of holding that position by himself last season. So look, we've added in some really good people, and probably the biggest addition for us is that we've added four really quality assistant coaches to really help develop the group.
Damien Horbury, one of those among that.
Yeah,
those
Damien Horbury.
Coaches.
Look. Yeah, and Horbs he's a super guy. Has an incredible footy resume. Four premierships up at Redan in the Ballarat Footy League, and another one at Bowen Head. So he's been there and done that, and he's for any club he's played at. If you speak to anyone that knows Straubs, he's probably one of the most popular guys out there. So he just the way that he interacts with the players and the coaching staff, and his knowledge is brilliant. And then Jared Stafford's jumped on as a midfield coach. We've got Bo Adams from Paran Assumption, who's played over 300 games. He won't be in a playing capacity, but he's been a captain at two clubs. He's been in a leadership group for 10 years. So, you know, you bring someone like that in to take on a development role. So he's working with all of our 18 to 22-year-olds to really get them in a good headspace to understand what their role is and how they need to go about their footy week in, week out. And then Finn Anscombe as well with his background was the other one. So we've got, four really strong assistants and bringing back Rory Nicol as an operations role was also huge for us, because his knowledge and love for the club and then just ability to sort of close the gaps has been really, really important for us and good for me to get some feedback as well.
I know Matty Farrow pushed really hard to get a home game on Easter weekend to start the season, and it just didn't fall your way, and you've got to go to Port Arlington, who are all, I suppose, ponied up in terms of talent with three former AFL players. Do you go, gee, what a great start to the season. You know, a club that's, you know, gone and added all this talent, big buzz, their home game and stuff like that. You get a big challenge to kick it all off.
I can't help but be disappointed that we don't get a home game to start the year. And I thought originally we were going to get one. I think we've had one in the last 8 years. So it's one of those things. At the end of the day, it's a decision that's been made. I think for Port Arlington to have us in round one is interesting. And I love that, to be honest. I couldn't be more excited for the challenge. I've got no doubt that for Port, they'll be looking to launch against us with their new recruits and their new systems and you know, having the start of the season they probably deserve with the work they've done with their footy program. But for us and our boys, we know where we're at, and we've just got to bring bring our game on the day and head down to Port. The Caravan Park will be full, no doubt. I think it's the 150th year anniversary, so there'll be plenty going on.
Now, you've got to give me an update, Tony. You started the cricket season in an absolute blaze of glory. How has that continued for you?
Yeah, well, not great. Last two games, looking to defend a little bit more, and it probably hasn't been right in my wheelhouse. So I'll give big credit to Zach Muir on the weekend. He caught me dead in front and just missed it. So that's a pretty simple one. But we've got finals coming up, and that's what matters. So hopefully I can actually put bat on ball again.
You're going to run into issues with finals or anything like that with practice matches for cricket, Tony?
No, look, footy's priority at the moment. We've got a few Sunday practice games, and that was purely out of ground availability. So it probably worked out a little bit for me. But we've also got a couple of Saturday games coming up as well, which, that takes priority over cricket before finals. So, it's been a little bit of a juggle with how close the seasons are, but it's worked out okay.
Yep. Out to Deakin for at least one of your practice matches.
Yeah, we've got one actually Saturday. So having a little run around against Drysdale on Saturday, which will be nice. Just to sort of start things off, and lucky enough that I was able to jump on a binger a couple of weeks ago and get that sorted pretty quickly.
Tony, we really appreciate your time. Sorry that Neilty, delayed us chatting to you, but I'm sure you got more important things to do this afternoon at Tate Street Primary School. Looking forward to seeing you in action and your boys taking the field in 2024, and obviously for you a chance to have a pre-season. We'll no doubt reflect on that once we get into the cut and thrust of things when footy starts. Appreciate your time on Beyond the Boundary, and wish you the best of luck for this season.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me today, guys.
Well, out of Tony Mirabella, we go into a bit of GDFL chat, or GDFNL chat now. I know there is somebody who listens to this podcast.
Be careful.
Who doesn't like when I don't mention the end. Player that we've really enjoyed watching. He's made a great career for himself in the GFNL. Obviously, played a bit of seconds and good underage footy at St Mary's, but saw opportunity at North Shore. Went on to become captain of the Seagulls, played more than 100 games in the blue and gold. But as he gets towards the twilight years of his career, it's off to North Geelong for a kick. And I do speak of Patrick Cleary. Pad, thanks for joining us on Beyond the Boundary.
Yeah, Chase, how are we?
Very well. Take us into the machinations of the move from Windsor Park to Keith Barclay Oval.
Indirectly had a link with North Geelong with my brother-in-law, Tommy Davis, playing down there. So I sort of kept an eye on them, looked at the scores, and also played with Tom Swenison, Mitch Habib and Blake Miller. And I was just always wondered why they weren't doing as well as probably what their list held as potential. I was probably not enjoying my footy as much last year. And anyone that knows me, I'm a bit of a footy nuff, so... so that was probably the first time that I'd stopped enjoying going to training and stuff. So I thought maybe it's the time to move on. And Keegan Carr moved on to North Geelong, and Rico was there, and they had a chat with me, and they dangled the coaching carrot, and I jumped at it. So
an assistant coaching role for you, is this the start of the thought of what happens post footy career, that one day you want to be a senior coach in your own right?
So I'll be development coach along with Mick Riccardi. Just pretty much helping out before training for any of the boys that want to hone their skills. The club's given me the opportunity to also help with my level two coaching. Which is greatly appreciated. So doing that at the moment, and then, who knows down the line, maybe a senior coach. So
you probably can't get much more of a doyen of coaching and local football coaching than Peter Riccardi. It's probably a fairly good place to start for you, Paddy, under the tutelage of Rico.
Rico's been really good this pre-season, and probably the most pleasing thing as well is that all the boys are wanting to learn off him. So I think he's enjoyed it. Rico's been great.
From a pre-season perspective, what's it look like for North Geelong? They obviously have been a little bit up and down over the last few seasons, so look to have picked up some nice players recruiting-wise, but what's been the focus in pre-season?
Yeah, I think Rico and Keegs' main point is we want to be a really hard team to play against, so they've been working on what we do without the footy, so our defensive work. So that's been probably the main aim of pre-season.
Pad, I just want to ask you about Rory Desnoy. He's got one of the great names. We loved calling it when he was at Leopold, but he's found himself at Keith Barclay Oval, one of a number of youngsters you've added. But has he still got the fantastic little mop of hair rolling out the back?
Yeah, he does. He does. I'm not too sure whether I should pop him up because I probably think he should still be in the JFL. So we're really happy to have him on board. But Rory's there. He's been training well, been trying to house down. So it's been good.
You and I spoke yesterday about getting you on Beyond the Boundary, and you're a bit coy about a new recruit, but I did some digging. An old teammate of yours at North Shore and Johnny Fazio is coming back from Clunes.
Yeah, John's come back. He's been training with us for the last 4 months and he decided to put pen to paper last week. So I was pretty stoked with that because I'm pretty good mates with John and I needed someone a bit older and a bit slower than me as well to come on board. So I don't look too slow. So, it's been good. So good to have John on board.
His numbers have been pretty good at Clunes. A bit quiet last year. I think he was 22 goals from 16 games. But the year before, he was 40-odd goals. And I think you mentioned to me, you didn't say who he was, but you said he is a former Central Highlands Team of the Year player. So he comes back having played some really good footy.
Yeah, no, he has. And he's got a fair bit of talent, John. And, I think he's going to help us a lot this year, so that's good.
The boys, practice match-wise, what have you got lined up? And then Roland, obviously, I think you got West in round one, maybe under lights at West Oval.
Yeah, that's right. West under lights, I think the Twilight game. So this week we got intra-club on Friday night out at Little River. And then I believe we play on the 10th at Deakin against Otway. And then the 23rd, but I forgot who we're playing. But I think that might be in North Geelong. So I'm not too sure about the cricket, but I've heard it's going to be in North Geelong.
Yeah, I think Keith Barclay Oval becomes available then, so we'll be good. Are you finding less demand at GDFNL level, for your time that you had at GFNL level, or is that something you won't realise till we're in season?
Training-wise, it's sort of the same, and I'm not sure whether that's because of Rico or maybe I underestimated the GDFL. But I told the wife when I signed up, I think it's only going to be Monday, Wednesday, and then I fared out the first night. We'll do it Friday night as well, so that didn't go down too well. But, I'm probably the same fitness-wise as last year, and the training's been great. So, I'm not too sure whether that's Rico or the GDFL, but, it's been good.
Do you want to drive by your cousin while you're here? Obviously, for those who don't know, Mitch Cleary, chief football reporter at Channel 7, just got engaged, I believe, to Kate Watts from racing.com. And you were more excited about the fact that you've got a wedding to go to rather than your cousin's actually engaged.
I'm a bit excited now. I was a bit depressed over the weekend because I've had a kid and been married over the last 2 years. So I've been able to compete with Mr. Channel 7, but now he's married, he's submitted himself as the number one grandchild. The family's really happy, and Kate's a great girl as well. So we're really happy she's going to be joining the family.
Did you ever think Mitch would get to where he's got to? Like, obviously, I remember him as a young fella, obviously captaining St Mary's under 18 premierships, and he showed an interest in the media, and here he is, one of the biggest names in the football media landscape.
Probably not to this level. He's always worked hard for everything he's done. He's always worked hard. I knew he wanted to be a footy journalist growing up, but I didn't think he'd become the chief of Channel 7. So, he's done really well. And as I said before, the family's really happy and proud of him. So,
He's done it. He's done a ripping job to get to where he is. And we've enjoyed your footy as well, Paddy. It shouldn't be understated what you got to produce. To play 100 GFNL senior games is nothing to be sneezed at. But we know that you'll add to North Geelong. Appreciate your time on Beyond the Boundary, mate. And good luck for season 2024.
No worries. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. No, all good, mate. All good. It's actually tie ball. I just was sitting under a rotunda at Rippleside waiting for a site visit, and it's actually turned out quite well. So I'll get into that, and I'll leave you up, boys, be.
You're a good man. Good to talk. See you, Paddock.
See you, boys.
Bye. Beautiful. You're a good man, Pat. Gee, Mitch has done very, very well for himself. He used to... here we go. This is something for you to aspire to.
Mm-hmm.
He used to boundary ride K-Rock games back in, I don't know, about 2013 or 2014.
Only the good people boundary ride, my friend. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
We'll have a crack at
it. I'm secretary of the Boundary Riders Association this year, too.
Have you been? Yeah. Michael Roberts still president?
Of course, Mickey Roberts. But I believe there's a few changes in the other stations.
Really?
And I think my tenure has brought me up, so I think I'm the secretary this year.
We're going to call tomorrow, though. We're going to go up to... this is Wednesday afternoon at 1:50, but we're heading
Should have been Wednesday afternoon at 1:30, except for Neildy.
Carlton, Geelong.
Carlton, Geelong. Yes. That'd be interesting.
You and I, we're going to broadcast it.
Air conditioning in the box? Oh, bring a fan?
CarrockFootball.live is where you'll hear it. Yes,
get on board.
So looking forward to that. On air about 11-ish. Game start 11:30. And then we'll sort of play it by ear, how long we broadcast for. It just depends on who's running around in
just
the hoops.
Just wax lyrical.
Yeah.
Tommy Hawkins will only run in the last two quarters. We might have to stay the whole day.
Hope not. I'm not
He'd be the first two, wouldn't he?
I think
38 degrees. He won't be playing too much.
No, there won't be too much going on there. Thank you to our guests, Mark Neal, coach of South Bowen, of course, Tony Mirabella, coach of Newcombe, and Paddy Cleary, development coach at North Geelong, as we found out as part of his move.
That's
I think there's some aspirations there for Pad to coach, as he said he is, in his own words, a footy nuffy. So I reckon we'll be back in a couple of weeks. Some practice matches
going on, I think, now.
There is a lot going on.
Yeah, it's very good.